have a better idea.
No, you could this time don't breathe.
I had to set them setting this up. Interesting.
He's the director. I have to listen to the director. All right. Bismillah. Can we just start the stream?
Yeah, you can there? Start.
Is that live?
That's live.
Okay. That's live? Okay. Bismillah. All right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ba'd. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbana zidna ilman ya kareem. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرطا وقل الحق من ربكم فمن شاء فليؤمن ومن شاء فليكفر إنا أعتدنا للظالمين نارا أحاط بهم سرادقها وَإِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُوا يُغَاثُوا بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِي الْوُجُوهُ بِئْسَ الشَّرَابُ وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقًا إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات إنا لا نضيع أجر من أحسن عملا أولئك لهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتهم الأنهار يحلون فيها من أساور من ذهب ويلبسون ثيابا خضرا من سندس وإستبرق متكئين فيها على الأرائك نعم الثواب وحسنت مرتفقا بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما يا كريم. So we're going to start where we left off last week. But just to be able to create a continuation, we're going to start with Wasbir Nafsaka, a quick running translation, and then for there on, come to the ayah that we stopped at. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 28, Wasbir Nafsaka ma'al ladhina yad'una rabbahum bilghadati wal'ashiyi yuriduna wajha. That patiently hold yourself with those people who are engaged in the practice of what? Yad'una rabbahum, they call upon their Rabb, بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ in the morning and the evening, يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ the only thing they desire from this engagement is Allah's pleasure. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا O Prophet of Allah, don't turn away from them in hopes of desiring the luxuries of this world. وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا And don't follow the one whom we have أَغْفَلْنَا i.e. we have made heedless قَلْبَهُ his heart an dhikrina from our remembrance. وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَى. And this person is following, or he follows, or he only follows هَوَاهُ, his desires. وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. And his entire affair, his entire life, everything is a total utter loss. كان أمره فرطا. Then Allah says, قل, O Prophet of Allah, say, الحق من ربكم. The truth is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فمن شاء فليؤمن ومن شاء فليكفر. The choice is, whoever wants to believe, فليؤمن, let him believe. ومن شاء فليكفر. And whoever wishes, then they can disbelieve. إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا. And we have created for the disbelievers, for the transgressors, نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا. Fire which is surrounded, completely surrounded by walls of fires. وَإِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُوا. And when they're placed in it and they seek in it, إِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُوا, they aid for water, they ask for water. يُغَاثُوا, they will be given water. But the water is going to be مِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ. It is going to be water that is going to be molten metal. يَشْوِ الْوُجُوهِ. It would burn their faces. بِئْسَ الشَّرَابِ. And how wretched is this drink. وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقَ. And what a terrible place to rest. Then Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Now, as for those, indeed those who believed, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they did pious deeds. عَمَلْ صَالِح. We have talked about the definition of عَمَلْ صَالِح and the three conditions of it. إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا. That if you have done an ounce of good, rest assured that Allah will not let it waste. You will get it. And for those, i.e. the one, this category, ayah number 30, أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ. These are the people, for them Allah has created jannat, gardens, عَدْنٍ, of eternity. So, Jannah itself is eternal. Then why the gardens of eternity? Let's see. I don't want to do all the talking. Jannah itself is eternal. Then why Jannat, gardens of eternity? Come on, guys. Think about it.
Where does the ayah start from?
أولئك لهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتهم الأنهار. Isn't Jannah eternal?
Yes, but it has to do with some of the people who are being spoken to in this ayah, or like talking about, spoken about in this ayah, right?
Yeah, but Jannah is eternal.
Yes.
Then why eternal gardens? If you're going to enter Jannah, everything is eternal in it, then why specify out of it?
Because everyone's going to get their own.
Everyone's going to get their own. Yeah, inshallah. We hope we get our own Jannahs, inshallah. Okay. So think about it, right? Sometimes Allah does give us a specific sifa, an attribute of something we already know. You know, for example, we know it's a car. It drives and stuff, but then you will specify a specific attribute of that car. We know it's embedded in it, but we want to emphasize on that. So we know that Jannat تحتها, we know it has Nahar, but then in one ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Anharum min Labanin, right? It is Anhar. There are four different types of Anhar with water and honey and Laban and Sharab. All of that specific, but we all know that Jannat has anhar. But these specifications come in to give us illusions, but also emphasize that don't forget, it's not any Jannah. It's a Jannah once you enter, adnin, you will live in it for eternity. right? The second thing is, it is probably referring to one particular Jannah, i.e. a garden within Jannah, which its state will be eternal. So it is referring to a highest level or some very, like a very crown jewel within Jannah, which is going to have an eternal, i.e. bounty or something, that something in it is not going to change. Like Jannatul Firdaus, right? It's a specific rank in Jannah, right? So it could be one of the ranks in Jannah, right? All the different aqwal have been said. But sometimes when Allah gives us these like subtleties, they are there to remind us that there are other attributes in it. And sometimes He wants to just emphasize that attribute over here. More importantly over here, He says, مِن تَحْتِهِمُ الْأَنْهَارِ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهِمُ الْأَنْهَارِ That there are rivers that flow underneath. Now we all know that if you can somehow occupy a house, and if that house happens to have, from within your house, you'd never see today, a house from within your house, a river flows. So your house is built on, and then there is a river that is flowing in your house. It doesn't happen. Now, if it does happen, it is super expensive. And it's generally not a river, right? It's usually a small stream or a small creek. And it runs through maybe in your backyard, but it doesn't run through the main structure of your house. It doesn't happen. The slab and then there's a river running through that, right? So this is referring to the miraculous nature of the houses over there. You can't think about it. But in dunya, if you were to look at the strongest river you have, you would not be able to build a house on it because the water will keep eroding the foundation, right? It's not possible for you to think. And it's structurally not possible for us to build unless it's floating, right? Unless floating and it's pegged to something in the ground. But a structure that is built, river flowing underneath, is not, like, we haven't reached there yet. There are small streams, and I've seen some videos of, like, you know, where there's like a small stream, I think it was in LA or somewhere, where some guy was able to turn one of the streams and then he created like a semi-arch or a bridge or something, and then there's like stream running. But, you know, they can do that. Now, the beauty in Jannah is you're able to actually see the stream too. So it's not just any stream. You're able to actually see the stream that is running in your house. So Jannat tajri min tahtihimul anhar, i.e. it is running from, the rivers are running in the foundations of the houses, which is not fathomable for us. Yuhallawna fiha min asawir, you will be given in Jannah bracelets of gold, right? For men and women, bracelets of gold. يَلْبَسُونَ ثِيَابًا خُضْرٌ And they will be given clothes that are green in color. Right? There's something to do with color green in Islam. Something to do with color green. Right? Tell me another place where we know something sacred about green color. It was one of his favorite colors. His favorite color was white. Most of كَانَ أَكْثَرُ لِبَاسِ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ أَبْيَضًا It was white. And the shawls that he would wear, his favorite shawl was a black colored shawl, right? Or a dark color short shawl. And that is why many times Aisha radiallahu anha, she would look at the shawl that was dark in color. And what would she say? يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ مَا أَجْمَلَ سَوَادُهَا عَلَى بَيَضِكَ How beautiful contrast is that black shawl making with your white skin, right? So that was his favorite color when it came to the shawls and stuff like that. So, but coming back to the question. I also forgot. I also forgot the question. I'm like, I asked the question. What was the question? Green. What is the significance of color green? Yeah, what are some other sacred texts that talk about green colors? Tell me. يَلْبَسُونَ ثِيَابًا خُضْرٌ Okay, great. What else? The greenery of Jannah, okay. The greenery of Jannah. In a hadith, we have numerous examples of the greenery of Jannah. What else? Different colors of green, shades of green. What else? What is the colors of the birds underneath the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Green.
Green birds. Right? Those are the birds in which the ruh of the shuhada. So there are asafirun khudr, green color birds that have their nests in the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a shaheed dies, his ruh goes and is placed into that bird. And that bird flies in and out of Jannah until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allahumma ja'alna minhum. May Allah make it. Yes. Qanadil. So there are these things that are hanging and then these birds have houses in there. Green. So green has significance. The ulama, they have said, ثَلَاثٌ مُذْهِبْ لِلْحَزَنِ. There are three things if you are depressed, if you have sorrow, sadness, anxiety, three things will take care of it. Okay. Number one, al-ma'u. So exposure to water. That's why you're going to see that, you know, when Muslims, we used to build these things called maristans, right? Maristans. Well, you know, from maristan is the word bimar and bimaristan in Urdu. Right? Maristan, and then from there, the place where the bimar would be brought, it was called bimaristan, right? So that's where the comes, you know. It was like a hospital, but it was mostly mental health hospital, right? And these mental health hospitals, one of the interesting things, if you go to some of the maristans, old buildings that exist in Turkey today, one of the fundamental things that they used to have is they used to have flowing, running fountains all across the area. So a person would come with this disease, something to do with mental disease, and they were trying to figure him out. They will put him in this environment that would be filled with greenery, and you would be able to hear the sound of water and stuff. And today, like the other day, we turned, who was I driving with, where we saw a weird structure, it looked like a church. I think I was driving with you, right? And then we looked at it, and it looked so like calming with like shaded trees and shades of green in the building. And me and my daughter were driving, and then it said what? What was the center? Recovery center. Like it was a center that, you know, allows people, and it had like a right off the stream, and the water was running in it. So there are three things that the ulama, way before they figured this out, you know, this is in our books, it is in tafsir books, it says three things get rid of sadness and sorrow. Number one is water. Number two is green color. Number two is green color. And number three is wajhul hasan, a beautiful face. Nobody can be sad you have when you look at a baby. If a baby is smiling at you, you can have all the sadness in the world. When you see the sadness of the smile of the baby, you're like, you know, you'll eventually feel happy, right? A beautiful face that is beautiful and it's hasan. It's pure. So why they're where, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they will be given these clothes that are going to be green in color. Now, they're going to be made out of fine silk and rich, istabraq is rich brocade. Now, for you to understand that, the ghilaf of the Kaaba, okay, if you've ever been to the Kaaba, the ghilaf of the Kaaba, the black section, not where they have the you know, ayat written, the black section also has embroidery on it. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? The black, it's very fine embroidery. It's not protruding. It's fine, and there's ayat and different things written on it, and that's also from silk, but it's super fine. That is brocade. Okay? So silk, on that is, it's not like, you know, embroidery that is protruding, but it's part of a design on the fabric, right? And it's in the nasj. It is how the cloth was made, right? So it was silk and it was interlaced with that embroidery in it. So it's part of the cloth. It doesn't come out, right? So if you go home, check out like the ghilaf of Kaaba and you'll see what I'm talking about. That is called brocade. So silk. And this fine, expensive cloth. And this was the cloth of royalty inside of the Kaaba, inside of the Rawda of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? All of those cloths are made from silk and brocade, right? Out of the Sunnah of that. Back in the day when the Indians used to take care of that, now the Saudi government has taken care of it. But when the Indian Nizam of Hyderabad was the one that was responsible for it, and there were different, you know, but he was primarily the one who was funding from his own nafaqa. They used to be which color inside?
Green.
Green is now.
White. Purple.
No.
Blue?
White. No.
Or black?
No.
Brown?
No.
Red.
Red. They used to be red in color, right? They used to be red in color. Because red silk in India was something considered very red shadi dresses and stuff. So it was considered royalty. So their culture was all about red, so they had it all red. But then when the Malik Abdullah's dynasty took over, then they switched the color to green out of the sunnah of Jannah and all of that. All right, the Jannah is going to be in green. It is mentioned, Ibn Abi Hatim, he says, أن ابن حاتم وأخرج ابن حاتم أن سليم أن ابن عامر أن رجلا a person is going to be يكسى في ساعة الواحدة a person will be given in 1 hour 70 ثوبا 70 dresses for you to wear in 1 hour you will have choices of 7 different dresses every hour 70 new dresses that you would like to choose from, and you will choose, and you're like, I don't like this one, give me the other one. I don't like this one, give me the other one. But every hour, 70 choices given. And it says, وَإِنَّ أَدْنَاهَا And the lowest quality of that, okay, is مِثْلُ شَقِيقِ النُّعْمَانِ Okay, the lowest quality of that in Jannah is the highest quality or similar to the highest quality. Shaqiq al-Nu'man was the highest quality of silk in the world. Inna adnaha. Okay. وَلَهُمْ مَا تَشْتَهِي الْأَنْفُسِ لَا يَأْبَى لِجَوَازِهِ أَنَّهُمْ لَا يَشْتَهُونَ وَلَا تَلَزُّزُ أَعْيُنُ سِوَى ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْأَلْوَانِ Now, the person may say, Ben, but I'm going to get bored of green. Why just green? I'm going to get bored of green. And Allah is like, this is the pinnacle of your taladdus, pinnacle of your enjoyment. And in it, whatever you desire, you don't want the green, you'll get any other color. But since Allah has chosen that color, nobody else would desire anything other than green anyways. Because it would be the most beautiful of the colors. And you know, when you have like the best car, you're not going to know, yeah, it's a nice car, but I need like better than that. Well, this is the best car in the world. Like, no, I need something better than this. Right, and every time you would want to enhance that, you will get enhancements within that color, as many enhancements as you want. Okay, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enter in Jannah. Now, Ibn Hatim, he also says that he heard Ka'b, one of the tabi'een, قال لو أن ثوبا من ثياب أهل الجنة If one cloth, like a piece of cloth, one dress, thawb, or one piece of cloth, من ثياب أهل الجنة نشر اليوم في الدنيا, if that one dress was to be brought, and it was supposed, it would be exposed, and it would be spread in the world, i.e. people would be able to see that dress, لصعق من ينظر إليه وَمَا حَمَلَتْهُ أَبْصَارُهُمْ That people would faint. They would literally faint by looking at that dress because they would not be able to withstand the beauty of that dress. Their minds would, they would lose their minds and just faint. It would be something of so much beauty. Right? And something similar is said about also the hur of the Jannah, right? Where it is mentioned that if one of them She just takes this portion of her finger, right? And she just, you know, in our realm, she comes into our realm and she just exposes that portion of her finger. It would the light of the sun would fade in front of the light that would emanate from just this portion, the nur that would be emanating from just this portion of her finger. So it's a life that we, that's why Allah, Prophet ﷺ said that your brain cannot even comprehend. All of these examples are there for us to just get some glimpse of, like, it is going to be a realm that we cannot understand. فِيهَا مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ. In it is that which no eyes have seen, right? No ears have heard. وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. And human beings cannot even begin to understand. So then what are all of these examples? All of these examples in the Quran, the Mufassirun, they say, they are taqribi. They are there as the closest approximation of what possibly could it be for your existing brain of this dunya to understand. Okay? جنات عدن تجري من تحتهم الأنهار يحلون فيها من أساور من ذهب ويلبسون ثيابا خضر. And they will be given dresses, they will be adorned with dresses in green, من سندس silk, استبرق واستبرق and rich brocade. متكئين فيها على الأرائك. Their natural disposition, Allah says, متكئين, they will be reclining. So if you were to come into an office, or if you were to come in an environment, and if you were to see an individual or group of people and all they're doing is just like, just loitering, chilling, right? You come in to Anhar Institute and you see, you know, Brother Asad just chilling on the sofa there. And all his friends are just sitting there, right? They're all just like sitting there drinking, I don't know what, chai or coffee, right? And that's the state you see him every single time. What would you think? Right? He's got nothing to do in life. Like, he's just chilling all the time. You know, he's got no work, nothing, mashallah. Right? So the imagery is that over there, you will not have anything to do. Your natural disposition is going to be muttaqeen. I.e. you'll have like a cushion pillow and you'll be just sitting there on the pillow. Chaloji, let's go. Help me. You're done. Whatever we had to do, we have done in this dunya. Muttaqeen. That's the first part. Fiha in the Jannah, alal araik. Now here's where I want to elaborate a little bit about the beauty of the Arabic language. So I'll get to arika, what it means. It says reclining, you know, on canopied couches or... So when you have something that has four legs and a flat top, four legs and a flat top. Four legs and a flat top. If it doesn't have anything on it, any, you know, add-ons to it, it's just four legs, flat top, and maybe like a small cushion on it. What is it called? Sarir. Who said that? You did. Okay, good. It's called sarir. What is a sarir? It's a bed. And what is the root word of sarir? Sinrara, surur. What does a bed do? It gives you rest. Surur. Gives you raha. Okay? That's called surur or sarir. Now that same bed, if a dead body is placed on it, then what is it called? Deathbed. That's the best example. Who said that? Well, technically, yeah, it's a deathbed. But it's called a nash. It's called a nash. Nash is the same four-legged flat top in which dead bodies are placed. Okay. Now, if that same four-legged flat top with the cushion and you, instead of a dead body, you place a king on it, what does it become? It becomes a arsh. It becomes a throne. Kursi is a footstool, right? It becomes the arsh. Now, instead of the arsh, if you put a bride, what does it become? Bride bed. Okay, mashallah. We're on a tangent. What does it become? Huh? Still a bed? It becomes hijal. Right? It becomes hijal or hawdaj. Okay. Now, if you take that same bed or same flat top, four legs, and you put four posts on the end, and then you put a canopy on top, okay, that becomes arika. That becomes arika. Now, araik is the jama, the plural of arika is one, alal araik, plural, like multiple canopied couches. Right? When they will say the word canopy couches, what refers to, you can imagine what I'm talking about, right? Like if you've probably seen, like, sometimes now you can put a king on it too, right? It will still be an arsh, but it'll be an arika, which a canopied arsh, okay? And you can put a bride on it; it becomes a hawdaj. And this is the beauty of Arabic language, that a particular item could be the exact same thing, depending on the use. The name of the item can change. Right, and this is only in the Arabic language, right? A table will be a table. A chair will be a chair, right? The maximum we'll have is like task chair and executive chair, right? Like that's only in terms of comfort, not in terms of use. For us, it will still. So in terms of usage, the entire name will change based on what is it being used for. And I just wanted to allude to that because sometimes. We don't, like, when arika is being used, we must understand there are many words of the similar origin, but this particular thing can switch into all of these names based on different uses, and that's the beauty of Arabic language. And I hope these tangents are not too much. They're like supposed to give you guys just a little bit of the glimpse of what we may be missing in the Arabic language. Okay. Then Allah says, Ni'ma thawab. This entire scene, Allah is like, what a fabulous or what a marvelous ni'mat thawab. What a great reward. What a marvelous reward. Okay. Wa hasunat murtafaqa. And what a great resting place. What did Allah say for the people who had an evil end? Wasa'at murtafaqa. What a wretched resting place. What a horrible resting place. And this is, what an amazing resting place. وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقَ وَحَسُنَتْ مُرْتَفَقَ. So with this, we come to an end of this, and now we begin our next story. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ. We may not be able to get into the story, but I will get into the introduction of the concept. This is a new concept that we are getting exposed to in the Quran, and it is important for us to understand the high-level concept. And I'll probably do a correlation between why this story is relevant in comparison to what we have covered, and hopefully we can get into the story if we have time, but don't look like we're going to be able to get into the story anyways. Now from here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا. Strike for them, i.e. O Prophet of Allah, explain to the people of Quraysh, مَثَل, give them a mathal, give them an example. Okay. Now, mathal in the Arabic language is mathal, but in English, what is it called? A parable. Okay, a parable. Okay.
Strike a parable.
Yep. Strike a parable. Now, what is the purpose of a parable? Okay. What is the purpose of a parable? A parable is a timeless example. I.e., it's an example that transcends time and space. Like, it doesn't matter when it takes place, it doesn't matter in which context it takes place. It has become timeless. And for it to become timeless, the names of the individuals have been completely removed from it, so that it can become applicable to every single day and age, every single time, every single moment. You can all find examples in it. Now, question for you guys. How many, before I get to this question, somebody asked, I just remembered this because I had it in my notes here. Somebody asked me this last time and I wanted to clarify this. So they said, why do you recite and sometimes take 5-7 minutes in the beginning? Because this way we can get more of the Quran, tafsir, and we lose time. We can all listen to the Quran later. And again, so it's a very valid question. And I want to just clarify the intention of that. And this is what we learned from our teachers. Okay, and I'm just going to present that. Remember the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, "Ma in nijtama' al-qawm fi baytin min buyut Allah," that if a group of people, it never happens except when a group of people gather in a house from the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? That, number one, yatluna kitab Allah. They gather and they're reciting the book of Allah. That's the first part of the ayah, hadith. The second part of the hadith is وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ. And then they study it amongst themselves. I.e. tafsir and all of this that we're doing, we're collectively studying it together. وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ, amongst them. Okay? إِلَّا, except what happens? Who knows the hadith? أَيْوَا إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sukoon, sakina, tranquility descends on us. وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ, and Allah's rahmah surrounds us. Which one of us can enter Jannah without Allah's rahmah? No one. So when we recite the Quran and we initiate that, the intention is that hopefully the sakina descends on us. Hopefully Allah's rahmah, inshaAllah, surrounds us. Right? وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, and angels come and they take their wings. And like this is happening now. Just imagine this. There's angels of Allah that are surrounding with their wings. Right? وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ, and Allah is going to, He is going to talk to all the angels. It's like, look at the group of those people that are sitting. Look at those people that come every Wednesday. The only reason they come from all far and wide and travel from work, you know, and many of them sleepy and tired, but we all come here. We come here for one purpose, that we want to be gathered with this mercy. That's the hadith. Now, I have two reasons for that too. Number one, any ilm that we learn, knowledge, if it is not connected to a sanad, if it is not connected to a chain, i.e. my understanding of the deen, right, was given to me by my teacher. His understanding was given to him by his teacher. And this way, we can trace our understanding of aqidah issues, our understanding of fiqh issues, our understanding of the concepts that are necessary for us to understand, we can trace our roots back to the authors of the books. And when it comes to the Quran, we can trace our recitations back to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Jibreel alayhi salam, and from Jibreel alayhi salam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when I recite something, we all benefit from the barakah of that sanad. And it is something that our teachers used to emphasize. That if you learned your knowledge from just random, you know, picked up a book and you read it and now you understand seerah, there will be a knowledge, but you won't have barakah. Right? Barakah comes when my knowledge is directly attached to a chain of scholars or scholarship that I can trace my knowledge back to. That my understanding is the understanding of somebody 700 years ago. And I get that same understanding down. So when we recite that together, that happens. Last niyyah that sometimes I have when I recite is that it, if you notice, the style that I'm reciting is a very tajweedi style. It is not, like melodious and, you know, we're not reciting in the salah. Right? It is very slow. I intentionally try to enunciate every single haraka, slow down. Li ahadihima jannatayni min a'na. Like I'm intentionally slowing it down. So if those of you that want to follow along, then you can also benefit from a little bit of tajweed. And this is a surah that we recite enough times. Sometimes you will realize, oh, I've been reading it wrong. I heard it the right way. And you can hopefully correct some of those mistakes, inshallah. So that was just a tangent. I had a note over here, so I had to address that. How many parables do we have in the Quran? How many mathals do we have in the Quran? Hassan says 4.
137.
Wah, wah, wah. 137.
264,968.
No.
114.
How many parables? Like big parables that, you know, ayat, 4, 5, 6 lines, parables that Allah says.
That has to be
like
43. Oh. There are 43 parables in the Quran. Okay? 43 parables in the Quran. How many parables are there in this surah? Three parables, okay? Three. This is the first one. And we're going to come across the other ones. Aside from the story. Method. An example. So you know, your teacher will give you a formula and then it'll give you an example. Imagine if you were to water. So there's a concept that has been given to you. And now the method, this parable is coming to explain and elaborate a concept that has already been addressed. Okay? The concept has been addressed. We just studied that concept. Okay? So we all know the story of the Jannatain. We all know the story. There are two gardens, right? We all know the story. What is the connection of this story of the people, of two individuals with garden, you know, two gardens, one garden? What is the connection between this story and the set of verses that we recited today? Starting from وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ No, starting from وَصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ Temporary? No, start from وَصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ What was the complaint? Why did the ayah come down? Wasbir nafsaka. Why did it come down? Who remembers?
For the people.
What did the people say?
They said they want to sit with the poor people because where they were.
So he said, Ya Rasulullah, لو أبعدت عنا, if you take away these poor people, لأن رياح جبابهم تؤذينا. The smell of their jubba, these clothes that they wear, it's very stinky. We can't be with them. Rich people, poor people. What did the rich people have? Dunya, dunya, dunya. And they were Muslims. They had accepted Islam. This was after Fath Mecca. They had accepted Islam. But they were like all into dunya. Hi-fi, Allah. Yeah, we're Muslim. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. But you know, we're like the upper class. We don't want to mingle with the lower class. What was the quality of the lower class? يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَا Then Allah says, فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ That choice was given in the ayah. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ Believe or don't believe. If you don't believe, سَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقَ You're going to have a horrible end. If you believe, right? If you believe, what was the end? وَحَسُنَتْ مُرْتَفَقَ You will have a beautiful end. Then Allah is like, now let me show you. Yes. No. Let me show you in this world what that, the entire exchange, i.e., poor, rich people, don't want to sit, mingle, Jannah, Jahannam, choose dunya, choose akhirah. What does it really look like on day-to-day basis in our lives? This is what the example is going to clarify for us. And that's the method. That now you've understood the concept that don't give preference to dunya, don't run after dunya at the expense of the deen. Now, how does that look like? Where would I be able to see this in my life, in this dunya? وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا رَجُلَيْنِ Strike for them the example of two people. جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ One of them, he had two gardens. More dunya. Two houses. Right? two big backyards, whatever you want to relate to that. Because the method is you add your contemporary example to this. Jannatayni min a'nab, i.e. one of, even today, if anybody has, you know, vineyards, that's very expensive. It's not cheap. You nobody's like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I just happen to have like an acre of vineyards. Oh, wow, mashallah. Like, what do you do for a living other than making alcohol, right? So just having vineyards itself is an expensive thing today. Maintenance of that, harvesting, creating, who's going to take care of that? All of that is very expensive today, even today. So he had two min a'nab. وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ. Right? And what had happened was he had this beautiful vineyards and they were surrounded by palm trees. Now, if you ever go to a five-star resort, you remember when we went to like Sri Lanka or these places, if you ever go to these resorts or if you're ever traveling by these resorts, if you're driving on Florida, you see on the beach, what do those resorts have? Palm trees. Even in areas where palm trees have no business. In Augusta, right? In Macon, right? If you're going by and you come across that, like the Intercontinental Resort, like when you're driving, you come across that, it's gaped, but then it's got like these giant, giant palm trees that have been brought in specially for that. If you look at Riyadh's Ritz-Carlton, right? There is no greenery in Riyadh. It's all cement and concrete, right? But in that particular Ritz-Carlton, filled with palm trees. Palm trees is a symbolism, or, you know, for even till today, California, LA, Santa Monica, all of these places, palm trees. Right? So palm trees. So Allah is like, this person had two gardens. And the beauty is his fence was palm trees. وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا. We covered his house, surrounded his house with palm trees. وَبَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعَا. And then he also had a farm in between. A farm that he benefited for various types of crops. Inshallah, in the next class, what I'll do is I'll explain to you how this imagery is first, so that we can actually visualize what this looks like. Because then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next ayah, he says what? Okay, you know, and then there was like, وَفَجَّرْنَا خِلَالَهُمَا نَهَرًا. Right, so what is this خِلَالَهُمَا? Is it جَنَّتَيْنِ? Is it مَزْرَ? So all of that, we will cover that. You know, how is the imagery looking like? And then there's a way to actually understand all of this, inshallah, bi-ithnillah. So we'll initiate that, bi-ithnillah, next week. اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا وبارك اللهم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to enable us to understand these amthal. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that these parables in the Quran allow us to learn the lessons that you intend for us to learn from and to implement these lessons in our lives. Oh Allah, when we come to these sessions of the Quran, allow us to implement one or two things in our lives and enable us to become better Muslims by the virtue and the barakah of this Quran. Oh Allah, allow us to benefit from the sanad, allow us to benefit from the chain of the allow us the benefit and the barakah of the chains of the scholars. And please forgive all of our scholars and have mercy on them if they have passed away and any of their shortcomings. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, you know, remember our parents and forgive our parents if they are alive, and have rahmah and maghfirah on them if they are not with us anymore. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that allow us to be from those who truly want to connect with your Quran. Oh Allah, make us from those, as some of the books have said, that one of the first signs of tawfiq is our hub and our love for the Quran. Oh Allah, allow us to be from those who are loved by the Quran, and Quran loves us and we love the Quran. Oh Allah, fill our hearts with the love of the Quran. Oh Allah, allow us and replace all other forms of love from our hearts, and enable us to be the ones who have the love of the Quran in our hearts. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه فإنه الغفور الرحيم. بارك الله فيك. جزاك الله خير.